good morning, East Point family. How are we doing this morning? All right. Everyone make it in safe. Not a whole lot of slips. Thank the Lord. It was a little icy this morning. So glad you're here safely, hopefully, for the most part. And let's welcome everyone who's watching online, especially those who are watching from Cumberland County Jail. We're so grateful you're joining with us this morning. Just a few announcements before we get going here. A couple important announcements. Today's our second Sunday of our groups and classes sign-up. So if you want to get into community with other believers who can help you grow closer to Jesus, kind of like what we saw with Lindsay there, how awesome was it to see Lindsay baptized and surrounded by sisters in Christ? And we desire that for you too, and we know that following Jesus is better when we're together in community. So if you don't have it, make sure you download the app on your phone so that you can look through all the different groups and classes we have. If you need any help with that, if you have some technical challenges, be sure to see us at the Connect Hub. We'd be happy to help you with that. And another announcement, if you are a student, if you're a middle schooler or a high schooler, we have a winter retreat coming up at Hume. I think it's Camp Hume. And it's going to be February 7th through the 9th. And there's going to be food, there's going to be fun, there's going to be all kinds of games. You're going to be staying in cabins. It sounds like a good time. And of course, you're going to be making lifelong friends and growing closer to Jesus as you grow in your faith together. So be sure to sign up with Fred and Jen. And then last but not least, our street disciples. How many of you just love our street disciples? We got some street disciples in blue here. They're awesome. If you want to be a street disciple and shine the light of Jesus on the streets of Portland at the wee hours of night, go sign up or go check out Kurt and the team on the turf. And I think they have a basic training tomorrow at 6 p.m. here at the Point. You don't want to miss that if you want to be a street disciple. So we're going to jump right into the series as we're continuing in our series called All Things New. And we've been unpacking Jesus's teaching when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Matt just did a stellar job last Sunday talking about loving God with our soul. And he brought out the whiteboard and he drew some cool pictures. And I don't have any cool tricks like that for you this morning, unfortunately. But Matt showed us how our spirit and our soul and our body are so intertwined. They're all really part of each other. And they're all so important. And it really teed me up for this message this morning, because this morning we're going to be talking about a topic that we don't oftentimes talk about in the church, and that is honoring God with our physical body. Honoring God with our physical body. And I think this is especially relevant because Christmas and the holidays just wrapped up, and now we're in a new year, right? And with all the holidays come all the treats that come with it. And some of us, it gets darker, and so we start to hibernate a little bit. And then the new year rolls around, and it's like, okay, new year, new me. Time to focus on my body, right? Maybe you stand in front of the mirror, you pull out the scale, you dust it off, you look at the number, and you're thinking, well, shoot, okay, I got some work to do here, right? And so the gym memberships, they fly through the roof. Right, we're going on diets, detoxes, cleanses. But usually it's around this point in the month that our bodies just go in full mutiny mode and they say, we are not doing this anymore, right? They pull a temper tantrum and we go back to the store and we get all the snacks that we used to like to eat, right? Sometimes if we're honest with ourselves though, our relationship with our body can feel like a battle. It can feel like a battle, whether it's age, whether it's our appetite, whether it's just general atrophy, right? Whether it's just we feel like we ache when we wake up and we didn't used to feel that way. Sometimes our relationship with our body can feel like a battle. And I usually see people going about that in our culture, this battle, in one of two mindsets in our culture. On one hand, sometimes we obsess about our body. We obsess about our image and our appearance. We make our body into an idol. And the Bible simply defined an idol is when you take something that is a created thing that God made and you put it in the place of God. And usually you know you have an idol in your life when you feel like you can never have enough of whatever that thing is, right? You can never have enough success or money or that person that you're now infatuated with. You can never have enough of it. Now, picture how devastating it is when we make our body image into an idol in a world of Instagram, social media, and phone filters, right? The standard is always in front of us, and it feels like it's always out of reach when our body image is an idol. I remember there's this guy in college. I'm not going to name his name. I had to be intentional about that. But he looked like Thor incarnate, right? He's 6'2", long blonde hair. He was super jacked. He would work out in the gym like 2 hours a day. And all the guys wanted to look like him, right? And I remember we were all surprised because he got real with us in the dorms one night. And he goes, you know, I've been doing some research. And I think I might have body dysmorphia. And we had never heard of that. We're like, what are you talking about? And he was saying, you know, people compliment my physique all the time, but all I can see is the extra fat I have on my waist. And he's like pinching his skin. We're like, what are you saying? Or how small my arms are, or how my legs aren't big enough. And we all thought he was like reeling us in on a joke. And we're just waiting for the punchline. And we realize he's being serious. He's not joking around. You know, when we turn our bodies into an idol, it becomes this never-ending treadmill of dissatisfaction, a feeling like the standard is just out of reach. And sometimes even when you hit those goals, it feels hollow. It doesn't fulfill you. Our bodies don't make a very good idol, but on the other hand, on the other side of things, there's another mindset sometimes we take when we approach this battle against our bodies, and sometimes we just throw up the white flag. We're like, I'm just giving in. I'm going to let my body do whatever it wants. I'm going to feed it whatever it wants, right? Sometimes as Christians, we can kind of spiritualize this mentality, and we can go, well, I know this is my temporary home. This body, it's a mere shell, and life is a vapor. Here one day, gone the next, right? And if we're not careful, we can take those truths, because they are true, and we can use that as an excuse to have a highway to heaven lifestyle, right? A highway to heaven diet and mentality. And you know, I've grown up in the church and I've been in the church circle for a while and been around Christians for a while. And it's funny how sometimes we can demonize certain sins, right? And then we kind of turn a blind eye to other ones, right? And I think many of you know what comes to mind when we think of demonizing certain sins and giving others a hall pass. And I think if there's one that gets a hall pass, if we're being honest, and this is convicting for me, it's gluttony, right? It's gluttony. But as I was preparing for this message this week, this verse in Philippians really stuck out to me. Paul is talking about people who are living a godless lifestyle. And in Philippians 3:19, he says this. He says, their God is their stomach. Their gut is their God, right? Now, how many of us know, you don't need to raise your hand, food can be a heck of a drug, right? It can be quite a drug. I'll be honest with you guys, and this is kind of embarrassing as a pastor, I don't always bring my stress to Jesus. Sometimes I bring my stress to the refrigerator. Sometimes I bring my stress to the drive-thru. Sometimes I eat my stress, right? I eat my emotions. There'll be nights sometimes where it's like 9 p.m. and I've had a day full of eating and I've eaten way more than I need to. And I'll be standing in front of my refrigerator and I'm just hoping that some kind of delicious treat will just pop out of thin air. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. And my wife, she'll just kind of like come around the corner. She'll be like, what are you looking for? And I'll just be like, purpose. Meaning something, you know? And if we're honest, sometimes that's the case. We're chasing after, we're trying to fill ourselves with something only Jesus can fill us with. And so those are the two mindsets sometimes we take in our culture. And sometimes we hop between the two. Sometimes it's our body's an idol. And then other times we're like, I don't care anymore. And sometimes it has to do with how close, you know, our family vacation is coming up and when we're going to be going to the beach, you know, if we're honest. But God, he doesn't want our relationship with our body to be this crazy, unending battle filled with insecurity, filled with shame or pride maybe, but God wants us to have harmony with our body. He wants us to have harmony with our body. And so the Bible has a lot to say about how we should look at our body. And the first thing I want to bring up this morning is that our body is a gift. Our body is a gift from God. You know, sometimes we don't always look at our body as a gift from God because sometimes we feel sick for the fifth time this year. Other times, you know, we're feeling a little achy and sore. Sometimes we're just aging and we're like, oh, this body, it feels like more of a burden than a gift. And then other times, you know, sometimes we just take our body for granted, right? Especially when we're young, we take our body for granted. We wake up, we feel great. We're like, I'm always going to feel this way. It's amazing. And because of that, you do stupid things with your body because you take your body for granted, right? And you'll pay for it later and you'll feel the consequences later. But our body is a gift. And this is what David says about our bodies in the Psalms. He reflects on his body. He says this in Psalm 139, 14. He says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, I think it's a beautiful thing when we can look at God's creation and it brings us to a place of praise. Maybe you've looked at the night sky and it brought you to a place of awe and wonder. Or maybe you've looked at a mountainscape or whatever it is in God's creation, it brings you to a place of awe before God. But how many of us have looked at our physical bodies and gone, wow, God, I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not worshiping ourselves, but going, God, thank you that you gave me this miracle of a body. Just a couple fun facts about how amazingly each of us are made in this room. If you laid out all of your blood vessels in your body, end to end, they would stretch over 60,000 miles. That's enough to circle the earth twice. Pretty crazy, right? This one's kind of gross, but I think it's cool. That one was kind of gross too. But the acid inside of our stomach, it's strong enough to dissolve metal, and your body protects itself by regenerating its stomach lining every few days. The DNA in your body, if you were to put it into books, could hold enough information to fill over 15 billion libraries the size of the Library of Congress. That's 15 billion with a B. Pretty crazy. You know, God has given us this gift of our bodies, and I think it's good to appreciate that, right? Because without our bodies, we wouldn't even be able to behold a sunset. We wouldn't be able to taste an amazing meal. We wouldn't be able to listen to amazing music, right? We wouldn't be able to embrace somebody else or dance at a wedding in celebration. God has given us this amazing gift of having a body. And I know sometimes many of us, we wish our bodies were a little bit different. We wish we were taller or shorter or weighed less or weighed more or had more hair or less hair, right? And I want to be serious for a second because I know there's probably some people in this room that when it comes to your bodies, whether you're born with it or there was something that happened to you, you experience some kind of serious physical limitation when it comes to your body. And we pray for miracles that your body would be healed to this day. And we would love to pray for you today out on the turf if you're experiencing some kind of limitation that feels like it's getting in the way of you experiencing life to the full. But we also look forward to a day when our bodies are going to be made perfect when we go see Jesus. But even with those limitations, even with the decay that sometimes our body experiences, I think it's good to say, God, thank you for making my body. That the fundamental emotion we have isn't out of shame or insecurity or pride, but it's saying, God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And because our bodies are a gift, that brings us to our second point. And this part's kind of hard, if we're being honest. It's simple, but it's hard, right? We need to take care of our body. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 19. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You know, I've only seen pictures, but I hope one day I could go see the Sistine Chapel. I think it just looks so beautiful, and I don't feel like the pictures do it full justice, and that's what I've heard from a lot of people. But I imagine that if I one day went to see the Sistine Chapel, I imagine that I wouldn't be chewing gum and spit it out on the floor at the Sistine Chapel, right? I don't imagine I'd bring my own little paint palette and be like, Michelangelo's work's pretty good, but check this out, you guys, right? You know, how disrespectful would that be? And that's a place that's been made by humans. But what we're seeing in the scripture is we're temples of God. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we're washed clean by his blood, when we've been saved by Jesus Christ, that he fills us with his Holy Spirit and we become a temple of the Holy Spirit, the living God. How much more should we take care of ourselves, right? And so if we're taking care of our yards or taking care of our cars or our house or our clothing or our phones better than we're taking care of our God-given body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, it means our priorities are probably pretty out of place. And I want to just level with you guys. In our culture today, there's a lot of information on health and fitness. Honestly, it's kind of crazy. It's like dizzying at times. You're like, are eggs good for you or bad for you? Like, who's going to make this up, right? You know, God made it, must be good. But there's so much information out there, and it can be dizzying at times. But I just want to give you three simple, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm just some guy who's talking on the stage. But I want to give you three simple ways that I think we can all step into to take good care of our body. And the first is that we just need to move our body, right? God made our bodies to be moved. I look at my kids at home, and they love moving their bodies, right? They can't help but to move their bodies. And sometimes they have so much energy that it's kind of annoying, especially this time of year when we're like locked in our house. And I'm like, can we just please get them outside? I mean, thank God for the point, right? So kids can run around and play, am I right? It's a huge gift to our community, especially this time of year. But we need to move our bodies. There's so many studies that show it's good for our mental health, our physical health. It's good for our emotional health. It helps us sleep better at night when we move our bodies, right? And if you look at Jesus's ministry, I mean, he's constantly moving. I just did a little bit of research on this. It's thought that Jesus probably walked over 3 miles every single day in his ministry. He was constantly traveling around from town to town. Not to mention, it feels like every other chapter of the Bible, Jesus is like climbing up mountains, right, to go be with God. He even was a man who worked with his hands. He was a carpenter, right? Jesus moved his body, but here we are in our modern day, and we have cars, and we have phones, and laptops, and desks, right, and Netflix. And it can be very easy to live a sedentary life, to have a sedentary lifestyle. And so we have to be intentional about moving the temple, moving the gift that God has given us to take good care of it. And so whether it's pickleball, whether it's basketball, whether it's going to the gym or going for walks, or maybe you're like Pastor Kurt and you like to go out in the woods and you like to pick up stones and just throw them like caveman, no judgment, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. Everyone has their own thing, right? But whatever it is, it's important that we find something that we can regularly do to move our body. And this is what Paul says, though. I want to remind us to keep it in perspective, because Paul says this. He says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So my encouragement would be, as you're getting exercise, whatever that might be, as you're moving your body, bring Jesus into it, right? Don't compartmentalize it and say, this is my time where I'm in the flesh, no time for the spirit while I'm doing this, but bring Jesus into it. I know for myself, when I'm at the gym, Jesus has been just encouraging me to listen to worship music and pray. Pray for my day, pray for myself, pray for the people around me at the gym, right? And who knows, maybe when you're at the court or on your walk, or maybe when you're at the gym, you're going to find people who you can shine the light of Jesus to. And some of you might be in this room because you were at the gym and someone told you about Jesus and invited you to come to East Point, which is pretty cool, right? So bring Jesus into it. The second one, outside of moving our bodies, how we take care of ourselves, is ask God to help you eat wisely. Ask God to help you eat wisely. So we live in an amazing age, a technological age, where there's tons of advancements, right? We have advancements that we don't even need, right? We have our phones, we have electric toothbrushes, we have so many cool advancements. But with that, there's some things that might be more of curses than blessings, right? Because 2,000 years ago, in Jesus' day, if dad was going to come home with a treat, he might bring home some dates or a pomegranate. And as a kid, you'd be like, this is the sweetest thing I've ever tasted in my life. But now dad can come home from the store, and he'd be like, guys, I got Oreos. I got double stuffed Oreos, right? I think one might be better than the other for you. Back in the day, maybe you had to work for your food, harvest it, hunt it. Now we can go on an app, and we have burgers and fries showing up right to our door, right? And so it's important that we have parameters, because Jesus says the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So how many of us know that if that snack is in my cabinet, it is not going to be there by 10 p.m. this evening? Charleston Chew Minis for me. I can't help myself. I'm an abstainer, not a moderator. I will eat the whole thing. My wife knows. And so we need to ask God, help me to eat wisely. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, do I need another cup of coffee right now? Do I need some water? Holy Spirit, do I need another serving, or am I good? Do I need to bring this snack home with me, or does it need to stay on the shelf? And so we need to ask God to help us eat wisely, because this is our temple. It's not a place of vanity, trying to get a six-pack, trying to live forever, anything like that. It's just saying, God, I want to honor you with my body. And the third one is get good sleep. Now, I'm sorry if you're a parent with an infant. I'm not trying to rub salt in your wound right now. But I know how it feels having three kids, how crazy you go when you don't get enough sleep, right? And study after study shows how important sleep is. Like, when you sleep, toxins leave your brain, your immune system, you know, boosts. There's so many things. Your memory consolidates when you're sleeping. It's so important that we're sleeping. I remember when I was in college, I would only get 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night because I would stay up late in the dorms and just mess around with my buddies. And I remember I was just convicted. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at 10 p.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. I'm trying to get a full 8 hours of sleep, right? And I remember in our Wednesday morning chapel, one of my schoolmates, they looked at me. They went, Graham, you look really happy right now. Like, what are you doing? Are you reading more of the Bible or what's going on? And I said, I think it's just because I'm getting enough sleep, you know? I was just feeling myself. Get this, the CEO of Netflix says the biggest enemy of Netflix, their biggest competitor, it's not Hulu or YouTube, it's sleep, is what they said. And I think the reverse is true if we're honest with ourselves, right? I think sleep's biggest enemy in a lot of our lives is our screens, is the amount of media we consume. And we need that sleep so we can be rested and used by God, so we can feel ourselves. So it's important, set an appointment with your pillow and keep that. Keep that appointment. It's an important one. So we need to take care of our bodies. We need to move our bodies. We need to ask God to help us eat wisely. We need to get enough sleep because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And as we close, this is the ultimate purpose of our body. The ultimate purpose of our body is to be of service for God. Our bodies aren't here so we can live forever. Our soul's going to live forever, but our bodies are going to wear away. We're not here to look good or be worshipped. We're here to be used and of service for God. Our bodies are meant for God's purpose, not our pleasure. And it's not that pleasure is a bad thing. God's not against pleasure, but sometimes we live for pleasure, right? But really, our bodies are meant for God's purposes. This is what Paul says in Romans 12:1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Right? All throughout the Old Testament, we see these examples of when people are worshiping God, they bring these offerings. They might bring an animal. They might bring some grain before God, and they're offering it to God. But Paul is saying, in this new covenant with Jesus, your new offering for God, your new sacrifice, isn't going to be an animal, it's not going to be a grain offering, but it's going to be your body. You're going to be a living sacrifice. And maybe you think, wow, we kind of got it good, but I think for a lot of us, we can think of a lot of things we might do with our body that Jesus wouldn't do with our body. That if he was living inside of us, that he wouldn't do, right? I don't always want to give a thumbs up in traffic if someone cuts me off with my body, right? There's a lot of things that we might be tempted to do with our body that God wouldn't do with our body. And what Paul is saying is, because Jesus willingly gave up his body, we should willingly give up our body for Jesus. You know, God was kind of putting me in a time where it was an interesting time of prayer where he was encouraging me to actually pray over my body. Like do a scan from head to toes to pray over my body. And it was really interesting because I'd be like, okay. And so I'd pray for my eyes. I go, God, help my eyes to look at things that are honoring and glorifying to you today, right? God, take these ears as big as they may be. Praise you, Lord. Let them be attentive to the needs of the people around me. Help me to be attuned to what you have to say to me today. God, take this mouth and help me to use it to speak words of life, not words of negativity, not words that are tearing others down. And so I would just kind of pray over my body, and it was amazing what came up in the areas that I even experienced resistance as I was praying over my body, because not every part of our bodies, if we're being honest with ourselves, wants to be offered to God. Sometimes it does feel like a sacrifice. But the amazing thing is as we offer our body as a living sacrifice, on the other side of that is life abundant. In Ephesians, Paul says that our bodies are God's handiwork, and he has purposes that he's planned for us before the foundations of the earth were laid. And God wants to enact and activate your purpose. He wants to put you in places to do his will. And as you do that, you're going to feel life and life to the full. But you can't do that if your body is not in submission to God and his will. Jesus came. He showed us what it looked like to be completely surrendered to God, completely surrendered to the Father. And he gave up his body as a sacrifice for you and me. And now we get to offer our bodies back to God and say, God, do with me what you want to do for your purpose, not my pleasure, for your will, not my will. And it's a sacrifice. It's a little scary, but on the other side of that is life and life to the full. So as we close, as we kind of go into this time of communion, there's three things I want you to meditate on. We'll take a minute or two to just think about these three things. And the first is, do I see my body as a gift from God? How are you viewing your body right now? Do you see it as a gift from God? Do you see it as something you're shameful of, insecure about, prideful about? Do you take it for granted, or do you see your body this morning as a gift from God, fearfully and wonderfully made by him? The second one is, am I treating my body with care as a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do I treat it with care? Are there any areas in my life where I could care for my body better? I'm sure for all of us, there are many areas, but is there anything the Holy Spirit wants me to be aware of an area I could take better care of the temple that he resides in? And lastly, am I willing to offer my body completely to Jesus, to lay my body on the altar this morning and say, God, I give my body to you as a living sacrifice. I want to live for your purpose and not my own pleasure. So let's just meditate on those for a second, and we'll take communion together. Well, as we go into our time of communion together, we get to reflect on Jesus. And in the person of Jesus, we see that God, the Word, became flesh. That Jesus chose to not just say, hey, good luck down there on earth, but he said, I'm going to take on a body. That the God of the universe came into a womb of a woman as an infant, became flesh and blood, and experienced what it was like to have a body, to taste the things that we taste here on earth, to see the things that we see here on earth, to know what it feels like to feel pain, to know what it feels like to feel the embrace of another person. And ultimately, he didn't use his body for his own will, his own pleasure, his own power, but he used it as an offering before God. He submitted completely to the Holy Spirit. It says in Scripture that Jesus was tempted and tried in every way we were. But even with all of the power and the glory that he had, Jesus in his earthly body, he took up the cross for you and me because the joy was set before him to take the cross so that he could give us life. Life in our mortal bodies. You know, in Scripture we see that sin entered the world, and because of that, our physical bodies wear away and they die. But because of Jesus and what we see from his death, burial, and resurrection is that we now have hope that God will give us new, glorious, and restored bodies because of the gift of what Jesus did for us. And so together we get to take these elements and we get to remember what Jesus did for us with his body, how he offered his body before God. And as we do this, we can kind of think, God, use me. I mean, I pray for each of us that we don't go to the lengths that Jesus had to go to, but use me in my workplace. Use me with my kids. Use me, send me to places where people need to know you, Jesus. Use my body for your will, not just my pleasure. For your purposes, not just my pleasure. So together, let's take the bread symbolizing Jesus' body broken for us. Let's take it. And as we take the cup, the juice, we're remembering his blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's take. Let's all stand together and let's worship together. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. God, we thank you that you've given us the gift of our bodies, God, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by you, God. And I pray that we would see ourselves in that way, in a supernatural way, God. God, I just speak a better word. I speak words of life, and I speak blessings over anyone in this room who's ever experienced just crippling insecurity, God. Chronic pain, diseases that they can't get a hold of or cure on their own, or a doctor couldn't cure, God. I just speak your life and healing over them this morning, God. And I pray, God, that each of us here, every morning when we wake up, regardless of how we feel when we wake up in the morning, God, that we would praise you for another day to be alive on this earth. God, that we would praise you that we're filled by your Holy Spirit. God, that you've put us here for a reason, and to be on a mission for you, Jesus. And so every day I pray that we would just lay our bodies on the altar and that we would give them over to you, God, so that we could be used for a higher purpose, not just for our own little kingdoms and our own plans, but for your divine purposes and your plan, God, because your picture is so much greater than ours and it's so much better than ours. And with you, there's life and life to the full, Jesus. And so I just pray over that this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, and it's all in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.